Jesse, you must listen to WUOY 90.9 FM on the net. Don't touch that dial. Jesse, keep it locked.
Considering an online pharmacy? Explore BeSafeRx to find useful information and resources to help you purchase medicines safely online. A safe online pharmacy requires a doctor's prescription, has an address in the United States, has a licensed pharmacist, and is licensed by a state pharmacy board. It's best to stay away from online pharmacies that don't meet these criteria. Discover more helpful tips and resources at BeSafeRx. Go to fda.gov/BeSafeRx.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the WONY Weekly Update. Here's some upcoming events to look forward to. On Wednesday, April 22nd, check out the women's lacrosse game versus Plattsburgh at Red Dragon Field happening at 4 p.m. And from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. from Monday through Thursday, head on over to the Alden Room for the Alden Room Scavenger Hunt. On Friday, April 24th, the Art Gallery is hosting their event, Artletics, which will include a live painting competition with artists painting still-life live models based off of athletics. Painting will occur from 1 to 4 p.m. with snacks and refreshments from 12:30 to 1 and from 4 to 5. Anonymous voting will occur from 2 to 5 p.m., and this event will be held in the Fine Arts Interior Courtyard or Open Space Gallery, depending on the weather. Also on Friday, the women's softball team will be playing Canton at the Red Dragon Softball Field at 3 p.m. And also at 3 p.m., the men's baseball team will be playing Cortland at the Red Dragon Baseball Field. On Saturday, April 25th, the softball team is playing again, this time against Oswego at the Red Dragon Softball Field at 12 p.m. Also playing at 12 p.m., the men's baseball team plays Cortland again at the Red Dragon Baseball Field. And at 1 p.m., the men's lacrosse team plays Canton at the Red Dragon Field. And on Sunday, April 26th, join WONY for our annual WONY Island event. See bands perform from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. in M201 Fine Arts. Dress for our island theme and bring your friends to enjoy some awesome music for free. This has been your WONY Weekly Update on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. More information about these events and more can be found on Campus Connection. Have a great week, everyone. Keep it locked.
Yo, 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 DJ Nuts from Mark 2. What's coming in hot? Episode 111. Can't believe it. It's, is it going to be nice out today? It says it's going to be nice out today. I never quite believe it, but, happy Friday, everybody. We got a crazy weekend going on here. It is WONY Alumni Weekend. So I think starting at 12 today, we have a bunch of DJs coming in that are alumni, and it's pretty cool. I'm going to try to hang out this weekend a little bit up here and see some old folks. If you're listening right now and you're an alumni and you want to get a hold of me, just hit me up on my socials and I'll come out and meet you. So let me just announce a couple things going on quick before I introduce our guests of the day. Today is Friday. Okay, so three bands. Sophia, Coleslaw, and Plainview are tonight at the B-side. I believe Doors at 8 and Music at 8:30. These are all SUNY Oneonta bands, which... are all amazing, and I think there's a lot of them are graduating. So if you want to catch them before they're out of here, go down to the B-side tonight. Tomorrow, the big thing would be the Foothills is the Beatles' Pet Sounds show, and I think that hits the stage at 7, and then the choir part happens at 6, maybe. I would go online and check out Foothills. The SUNY Oneonta World Chorus is singing Rubber Soul beforehand, which I got to hear part of the other day, and it's really cool, with a very small kind of jazz-esque cocktail band playing with them. And then Darcy Gibson and the Justice League, which he hasn't put on a show in a while. But there's 29 musicians, which is totally insane. God, I would hate to see the rider for a band like that. I mean, that's going to be quite expensive. But they're playing Pet Sounds and Revolver, right? Yeah, Revolver. Darcy's always pretty good at doing the tribute thing, so it'll probably be spot on. And then Sunday, it's Woney Island, which is, I think, 7 or 8 bands up in M201. So that's the finale of Woney Alumni Weekend. It's really awesome that the radio station, Woney in general, is still having tons of alumni come up. Woney's been going strong for so long, and it's a great tradition to be up here. But today we're going to talk with some local celebrities here. Many people probably know this duo from going to the Foothills. This is the most recent endeavors, I would say. Bigger Dreams Productions. Steve Dillon, Brooke Tallman, here to talk about... We're talking about you guys, right?
Yeah, we'll talk.
I don't even know what we're talking.
We can talk about other things too.
Oh, let's talk about you. Let's talk about both. Well, let's talk about, since you're both here, let's talk about when we get into it, let's talk about what the season looks like.
Yeah.
Right? And what's been going on and what's been happening for the past year or so. And then, things that are looking into the future. And, but we're also going to, they brought some albums in, so it's super cool. I'll get to hear some stuff that I don't necessarily own. So we're going to start with a Conan O'Brien album, which is totally bizarre. There's some, I guess there's like a third of that stuff or half. It's like rockabilly tunes.
Yeah. It's, if no one's aware, Conan's a great rockabilly artist and he has the band.
Which I did not know.
The Legally Prohibited Band.
Okay.
And what you're about to hear is an exclusive vinyl pressing from Jack White's Third Man Records.
Okay.
And it's pretty cool.
Sweet. So we're going to listen to Conan's version of Rock This Town, the Stray Cats classic. And by the way, the Stray Cats are on tour again. This time, hopefully, Setzer does not get injured and he will be playing. If anybody gets a chance to see them, I saw them twice in the past 10 years, and it was an amazing show. So, okay, here we go. Conan and his band playing Rock This Town. What year is this from, do you know? Any guess?
I would say like 10 years ago.
Okay, cool. So this is somewhat modern. Here we go.
Rock this town, rock 'em inside out. Yeah, we gonna rock this town.
Well, that's just like an introduction to a talk show, which is like perfect because that's what we're doing right now. All right. So once again, Steve Dillon, Brooke Tallman, we're here talking about, well, first of all, we're going to talk about bigger dreams.
Yeah.
Should we start with that?
Yeah. Let's go into a little history of how that came about.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So just so people out there know what's going on, I'm trying to get, you know, everybody that comes on so that, because I know what's going on for the most part, but people out there do not. So give us a little brief history of the, I guess it's a company?
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Official, company? Official LLC, right. Not for profit.
Cool.
Been that way for about five
years this
now.
Is our fifth year.
Yep. But it all started about 10 years ago for me. I mean, I've been doing theater locally for over 20 years. But 10 years ago, I really wanted to produce my dream project, which was the stage adaptation of The Elephant Man.
Oh, that's, I was at that. Yeah,
one of my, awesome. Just one of my favorite plays, one of my favorite movies, one of my favorite stories. And when applying for the rights, I realized I needed to come up with a company name. I hadn't thought that far ahead. So I went back to my favorite movie, which is Jaws. Just came up with Bigger Boat Productions with no real plan for the future. I just wanted to produce that show. So it was all right, Bigger Boat Productions, got the rights and produced that show. And at the same time, Gary Stevens, who everybody knows locally, retired math professor, Hartwick, he had just retired, and he said, well, I've always wanted to start my company as well, his own company. So shortly after, he started Stuff of Dreams Productions, name coming from his favorite movie, The Maltese Falcon.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. That's so, a great movie.
So we kind of operated that way for a handful of years. And then
and co-produced a lot of shows.
Co-produced
together.
A lot of shows. That's one, right. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest of Mice
was,
and Men.
Yeah, I was at both of those. Those were great.
Thank you. And then around that same time, Brooke had her own theater company.
Yep. Bold Theatrics.
That's right.
Once that was winding down a little bit, Gary and Steve have been talking for years about merging their companies. So they asked me to be the third to incorporate the company.
Yeah.
And
was that Heather's? Did you do Heather's?
We did Heather's.
That,
yeah.
That was the last one. That was one of the last. Was that one of the last ones? Or did you do
Matilda, I think, was the last one that we did. Yeah.
I remember seeing Heather's.
So yeah, we all came together and we've been doing this as Bigger Dreams for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And things are going great. We got some great things coming up. Our first show with Bigger Dreams was Haunting a Hill House.
Oh yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
I remember there was some kind of shaking going on. Did they make the room shake somehow?
Yes. Then we had some folks under the bleachers, right?
Yeah. Okay. That was the big thing I remember from that.
It's kind of like going to see one of those 4DX movies where the seats move.
Yeah, exactly. It was like those old school Vincent Price things where they would like shock the seats.
Right,
you
exactly.
know what I mean? No, I vividly remember that because I was like, what is going on?
I was a little worried about some of our older patrons.
Yeah, I know. So I saw that one because I love the book, you know what I mean?
The
book's amazing. Cool. So, and that was, you said that was about 5 years ago?
2001, I believe, yeah.
21,
or
yeah.
2001.
I hope it wasn't
That was 25 years ago. Yeah, yeah. 2021.
Okay, cool, yeah. So how many shows, what's the, tell us about a particular, tell me about like a year. Like any, not a year, but just in general. Like,
right,
okay,
right.
We're going to.
How we, a plan of attack.
Yeah, that's right. So like we have a, your season, I guess I would kind of call it. Like, what do you try to do per year? What's the goals? What kind of stuff do you want to do? How do you find direct? Like that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the yearly planning.
Yeah. So we start with a show usually at the end of January or in February.
Okay.
And then, depending, we try to do something light usually in the winter. People, you know, seasonal depression, all of that. So
sure.
We try to do something a little bit lighter. In the spring, we typically do something a little bit more literary. So usually that's a May show. In the summer, kind of a grab bag depending on what else we have that season. And then in October, close to Halloween, we try to do something spooky or
thriller, mystery.
Gotcha.
And then the last 4 years, we've also thrown in the Vagina Monologues and some special projects. So we try to do that. We're hoping to do that for the fifth year in a row this year.
Cool.
So it also depends on, you know, if one of our board members has a special side project they want to do and it's something that fits in our season and we have time to do it and the resources to do it, we'll, throw something extra up for our audiences, too.
Cool.
Especially if we can incorporate it as a fundraiser of some sort that doesn't cost us a lot, that can bring something in for us.
Yeah, right. Nonprofits are tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know... And speaking of that, because Foothills is a nonprofit, right? And from what I know, it's pretty awesome because you have that room, right?
Yeah, we have the...
That production room, whatever it's called?
The production room, production center. Yeah, we have the exclusive use of that room. We pay for that room.
Which is awesome.
Which, I mean, with the amount of materials that we've accumulated over the last 10 years, we have a spot for our building materials and that kind of thing. Where if you think about it, normally a theater company loads in to where they're performing.
No, it's crazy.
But we have a house for all that stuff.
Yeah, which is awesome. I was talking to Greg Klein. Do you know Greg Klein? He was on. And I remember when Studio Niana started doing shows at the Foothills, we used to play in that room, but that production room. But that production room is really not set up for live music,
sound wise.
Yeah. I mean, it's aesthetically, it's okay. It was okay, but like, it just does not sound that great in there because it's not set up that way, you know. So when they moved us up to the loft, it was like I will just say for Foothills, Jeff's done a great job.
Oh, absolutely.
And I would say 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I would be like, I'm just going to say that I think they built it wrong from the beginning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can all say that.
Everybody would say that.
Sorry, everyone out there in radio land. But here's the the diamond on top of the mountain or whatever, the cherry on top of the ice cream sundae, is that over the years since that was built and put up, the people that have been working there have worked really hard to take each room in there and make it awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done such great work. The atrium is so nice now, right?
Absolutely.
And Jeff did a bunch of sound reinforcement in there and aesthetics and so forth. The theater, we played the wall there last weekend, and it sounded great. I mean, it was amazing, the sound in that place. So.
We were rehearsing on the other side, and it sounded fantastic. Oh,
yeah, I know. I mean, we had I had a lot of people come over to me after and say, wow, that was the best sounding show I've heard in the place.
Wow,
so,
that's great.
Which was great. We had it dialed in, and Gavin did a great job. And once again, the sound reinforcement, the stage, they did a great job. The production room, the last couple of plays I saw there were great aesthetically. Once again, if you have kind of control of that room, it makes a big difference. That way you can kind of keep your stuff there and you rehearse and playing the same thing, you know what I mean? So all your stuff's there.
Exactly.
It's not changing.
It's not like rehearsing 3 months in a different location, blocking it, marking it out, and then moving into another location. And then everything's always different.
Exactly. And then upstairs in the loft is great.
Yeah, it's a great little space.
Yeah, I probably play, we did the Rocky Horror thing on Halloween. That was great. I have all my student bands play up there, and it's amazing. Foothills is really killing it.
It's really thriving. It's great to see, and it's great that there isn't a night of the week there isn't something happening at Foothills.
And, you know, like I said, in comparison to 10 years ago, not that it was bad, but it's just much better. So kudos to everybody down there.
And the staff there is so supportive and helpful. Oh, yeah. If there's anything we need, they're right on it. So shout out to Jeff and Andrew and Gavin. They're awesome.
And kudos to Jeff for just sticking it out all these years. And, you know, look where he is. He's the executive director.
Yeah, he's also 300 and something envelopes deep in with a typo at the end.
We saw
Jeff
that.
Doyle, I love you. I hear you out there. If you get a letter from Jeff Doyle in the mail and it's got a typo at the end, it's not his fault.
He's having nightmares about that.
That's super funny. I saw that. Jeff, I love you, man. Jeff's one of the hardest working people in show business.
Does a lot for the community as well.
Oh, he's amazing. So, okay. So, what's the... So this is April. Are we in April? We're in April, right? Yeah. So you've done one show this year?
Yeah, we kicked the show off, or kicked the season off with the show Noises Off, which is a very famous
farce. Oh, yes.
Farce.
I actually didn't get to go. Ryan was in it, though, and said he had an awesome time.
He was great to work with. We had a great cast, and it's such a funny show. It's such a demanding set, if you're not familiar with the show.
I'm not. I follow all the stuff online, so I look at pictures of all the stuff.
And it's
a
beast.
I was like, oh, there's a lot of stuff going on here.
It was really on our radar for years, but we want to make sure we could do it in that space because it involves a rotating set because it's about a theater company putting on the show where everything goes wrong. You've heard of the show, the play that goes wrong. This is the first play that goes wrong.
Yeah.
But it starts out during a dress rehearsal for their performance within the play. And then act two takes place backstage.
So the whole thing rotates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And we had to come up with a creative way to do that in that space. And Gary Stevens and our set designer, our builder, Dave Holgel, Jeff Moore, they all do a great job with the space and what we have to work with.
Yeah, and then act three of that one, the whole set rotates again and goes back to the original setup where you're seeing the final performance. So we had a fantastic crew on that one, a lot of stagehands.
Yeah, usually on any given show, we have a crew of maybe two people backstage. On this show, though, we had like, what, 12?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's a lot. Yeah, I heard amazing things about it. And I was sorry that I could not go. As an artist or somebody who's in the artistry profession or even just side hustle, I would say most of us are side hustlers. You know, we want it to be the number one thing, you know, but the money is unfortunately not always there. I always say you can rank your success on whether or not you can go to your friend's shows. If you can't go to your friend's shows because you're busy, then you're doing okay. It's always a sad thing when you can't do it.
Right.
But, you know, if you got your own stuff going on, that's also a good thing. Kudos. So that happened. And then what's going on? Tell me about the rest of the shows let's talk about the rest of the show.
Rest of the season, yeah.
For the rest of the season.
So I'll have Brooke jump in and talk about what we're working on now, what's coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah, so right now we're working on 12 Angry Men. We're in the throes of rehearsal. We're off book at this point.
Okay.
12 Angry Men is by Reginald Rose and was adapted by Sherman Sergel. We have a great, great group of gentlemen that we're working with. Some new faces, which is always really exciting.
Sure.
Some fan favorites.
Is Bill going to be there?
Bill.
Gerda Miller?
Bill.
No,
he's
a musical
busy.
Guy.
Yeah, he's busy with the Orpheus show.
Does he ever do any of the plays?
Rarely.
Very rarely.
Yeah,
he likes the musicals.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see Bill. I love Bill.
Yeah, so he'll be in Rock of Ages. I saw him announced for that.
What do we think of Rock of Ages? No, I mean, you know.
Rock of Ages.
I'm glad they're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen the stage production. I've seen the movie, the Tom Cruise movie.
It's super funny because one thing before we get into that, did you know that Def Leppard would not give them rights?
Oh, really?
For that
no.
song.
No.
So they can't use the song,
okay.
Rock of Ages, which is
the name of the show, right?
Which is the name of the show off of Pyromania.
Yeah.
for it. So they can play it beforehand as incidental music, but they can't play it.
It's not part of the show. I didn't realize
they
that.
They couldn't get the rights.
I just assumed that they named the show that. It's in the show.
That's super funny. Anyways, everybody should go to that because I know a lot of people in it.
Yeah.
Charlie
yeah.
Moffy.
Stacey Jacks.
Stacey Jacks. Everybody needs to go see Charlie. Okay. Anyways, side note there. But, okay, so we have 12 Angry Men. Was that a movie, too?
Yeah, it started out as a made-for-television movie and then was adapted into a play. So normally we see the book or the play adapted into a movie, and it was the opposite with this.
And then actually the most famous adaptation, so it was the teleplay, then the stage adaptation, and then they made a major motion picture, the one everyone knows with Henry Fonda.
Yeah, this was old. This is an older.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it's funny. I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's great.
No, I should see it. It's on, like, the list of, like, things I need to see.
Yeah,
and it's always one of those things where I was like, oh, man, like, I look at it too late at night, and I'm like, is this something I can watch late at night, or do I need to pay attention? And I think it's something I need to pay attention to.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. So I should see this then.
And it's a great look at, you know, the justice system and what is reasonable doubt and how our prejudices might influence whether we realize it or not our decisions. It's a really, really good piece. We've got a really great cast for it. So I'm really excited for audiences to see this one.
What's the brief synopsis?
So it all takes place in the jury room.
Okay.
The 12 jurors come in. They are on a murder trial. A 19-year-old has been, you know, a little bit of a troublemaker, has been accused of killing his father.
Okay.
And at the top of the show, everyone except for one juror is convinced that this kid is guilty. And over the course of the show, this one juror kind of points out some indiscrepancies and some issues with the case that they all just sat through. And it's them kind of coming to the conclusion and finding where that justice lies. Is the kid guilty? Is there reasonable doubt?
Cool. So this is a serious piece here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned, we try to do something light in the winter months.
Yeah.
Usually we do try to do something like 12 Angry Men that just kind of makes you think.
Sure.
A couple years ago, we did Sinclair Lewis's It Can't Happen Here.
Yep.
And then we'll talk about what we have coming up next year. But yeah, usually this time frame, we like to do something literary, something important, something that says something, has something to say.
Cool. So can we, who are the 12 Angry Men?
The 12 Angry Men, yes.
Yeah. Who we got on the cast here?
We've got Steve Dillon.
Right.
Rick Kumpen, who is new to this area. He's done a lot in, like, the Binghamton area. He's worked with a lot of my friends that have kind of moved on to the Binghamton and surrounding area. So we're really excited to be working with Rick. Jay Lentner, Darcy Gibson, Tom Russo, Brandon Rafferty, who's a student here at SUCO.
Okay.
So that's exciting. Zeke Miller, Gary Kotnick, Steve Hiscox, Paul Van Hook, Gary E. Stevens, Vienna Rowan, and then we also have Jeff Moore as our guard.
Cool. Gary has looked the same.
He really has.
How old is Gary? I don't mean, I'm not even going to ask. Gary, you look the same for 200 years and you look amazing. And you're going to be 900 years and still the
greatest. Gary, I believe, just turned 79.
Gary's amazing. I've known Gary for a long time, just from Hartwick. I went to Hartwick.
Yeah. Was he your math teacher?
He wasn't, but I didn't take any math classes.
He says he works harder now doing what we do than he ever did when he taught.
It's so funny. Yeah, no, Gary was up there, and I just remember being like, oh, look at it. It's like, it's, you know, and then, you know, he's like a Willie Nelson to me, like where you just kind of look the same.
Yeah, he really has.
You know, for like how many years I've known him.
I've seen pictures of Gary when he was younger.
Yeah.
And Gary looks like he looks now.
Same with Dennis Turchek, who was my guitar teacher. He like comes up here from time to time. He was my guitar teacher, whatever. He just turned 86. And he looks the same when I was studying with him 30 years ago. I was like, you look the same. It's crazy. Like, I'm like, some people are just blessed with staying the same age. We love Gary anyways. Gary's amazing. Cool. That sounds like a great cast.
And like Brooke mentioned, a lot of new faces, which is cool with this show and Noises Off. And really, as we go on, we broaden our acting pool when we hold auditions because you see a lot of the same people come out. But when you see all these new people and people coming from Binghamton, that's just really cool. And these are people we can use again. And again, it just deepens the pool for us.
Yeah, and it's hard in a smaller area to try to get it so that it's not the same people over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even with music stuff, I really try to push the fact of.
Even if you throw in one or two new faces, it's always.
No, it's always a good thing. Yeah. And they know people, and then their people come out and see, you know, it also expands the pool of the audience.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I believe.
They're bringing in other people, for sure.
They're bringing in new people to watch the stuff. So, okay, so let's talk about when the dates of that go up, and then how you can get tickets, all that kind of stuff. And then we're going to play a song, and then we're going to come back and talk about the rest of the season.
Sounds good.
So we open up on May 15th, which is a Friday evening. We'll be doing a Friday and Saturday evening show, the 15th and 16th, with a Sunday matinee on the 17th. And then the following week, we do it again. So we'll have a show on the 22nd and the 23rd evening, and then matinee show on Sunday the 24th, and that's when we'll be closing. We are also going to be announcing a special student show where we'll be offering discounted tickets to any student. Tickets will be going on sale this weekend. So look out for that on Facebook and on our website. And tickets are available by just visiting our website, biggerdreamsproductions.org.
Great. Awesome. I'm trying to figure out which one I can go to. Graduation is the 16th, but maybe the 17th. I can go to look at it. Times. Cool. When's the student show? You know, and I'm announcing it yet?
We're working out the details as far as, when you have 12 cast members, the hard part is, I mean, they all sign on to do the original dates, but then when you try to throw that extra date in,
the
challenge is making sure you have 12 angry men and not 9 angry men.
Yeah, so we're applying for the rights for the extra show today, so we're hoping to be able to announce that.
I see what you're saying. Okay,
hoping to announce that in the next couple of days.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, working with, you know, that's the other thing, too, is, like, even with Darcy, like, doing the thing, like, it's really hard to work with that many people.
How many people does he have in this band?
29.
29, but but here's the thing, is, like, even when and you're working with it, too, right? So, like, a lot of the times with these things, people are not getting paid.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's the big kicker, right? It's like you do this for your it's funny. Most of the really big projects I do, I don't get paid.
Right.
And then the smaller projects I do with the band, it's not like I'm getting paid a ton of money, you know, because we're going to play. Other people are endorsing, you know, giving me money to do it.
Oh, right.
Whereas opposed to, like, oh, I got this great idea. Let's put this thing on, you know.
And exactly.
It's like, you do all this work, and you're like, there's 47 people in this production. even if you wanted to pay them, it'd be like, here's $7, you know, which won't even buy you half of a sandwich at Dave's Hot Chicken, to be honest with you. But so, not that people don't want to pay others, but it's, like, impossible, especially when you're a nonprofit. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, hey, how do we whatever? The money just goes back into the thing. And eventually you just want to end up zero in the end.
Exactly.
Most of the time we end up in the negative. Or a lot of the times it's, like, in the negative. You know, you try to avoid that. But
every now and again when you're in the black, it's like, wow, that never happens, you know?
Yeah, right? No, I know. It's funny. So that's one of the is a hard thing to do is, like, okay, how do I get these 30 people to be able to show up consistently when you're not giving them any money? You know, it's like it's such a tough thing. But he does it, and kudos to you for doing it too. Like, this is an amazing thing, you know. Both of these projects are awesome. There's a lot of people. So along with the 12 people, how many other people are in the?
There's one other person in the cast, who's playing the guard, and then myself, I'm directing, and Donnie Hildebrandt is our stage manager, and that's...
Is there a judge?
The judge is pre-recorded.
So
Jeff Doyle will actually be doing the voice of the judge.
Jeff, does Jeff know that, or is Jeff listening? He's going to find out.
No, he does. He promised me about a month ago that he would do that for us. So.
That's really interesting. Super cool.
Yeah, surprise voice cameo by Jeff Doyle.
Awesome. he's got a great voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, wow. And then how many stagehands?
This one we really don't need stagehands because the guys come out, lights
it's one,
up.
It's one set.
And then, it's one set. So Donnie will be backstage with them. I'll be up running sound and lights.
Very cool.
So very, very small production team on this one. But we have enough cast members that makes up for it.
Yeah. Unlike Noises Off, where we had to handle like 60 props within that show.
Yeah, well, that sounds like it's a visual thing as well, whereas this is a mental thing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
This is dialogue. This is
exactly.
You know, actors acting.
So
yeah,
very cool. Okay, so we're going to listen to one song, and then we're going to come back and talk about the rest of the season here for Bigger Dreams, and we're going to listen to the theme song from High Anxiety, which. Speaking of Mel Brooks, I saw some interviews with Rick Moranis.
Coming back for Spaceballs 2.
Yeah, like talking about the Spaceballs 2 movie, which I think is awesome. And Mel Brooks has got to be, what, 99?
He's 99. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's still at it.
It's amazing.
There's hope for all of us.
There is hope. And, yeah, I see interviews with him every once in a while, or like little snippets. And I was like, that's incredible.
There's a great documentary out there on streaming, Mel Brooks, the 99-year-old man.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Yeah. I've not seen it yet, but I love Mel Brooks. Who doesn't, you know? And I'm really excited for Spaceballs is whatever. I'm not even
as long as they bring back Pizza the Hut.
That's right. Pizza the Hut. Or pizza will send out for you. All right, here we go. High Anxiety, the theme. I don't know if I even remember this because I can't remember the last time I saw this. I need to watch this in the History of the World. I need to watch these movies again because I have not seen them in a long time. Although I did watch Young Frankenstein and The Producers again recently, which are both brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever done The Producers? That's, I guess it's a musical, so, you know.
Orpheus may have.
Orpheus did it probably almost 20 years ago,
okay,
I would
that's
say.
That's a long time ago. Okay, here we go. We're listening to this. I wonder who wrote this. Do we know?
I'm sure it was composed by John Morris, the film composer.
Okay, here we go, everyone. High Anxiety, the theme. Thank you. right, that was awesome. High Anxiety, the movie. The album cover's amazing on this, too. It's a kind of tip-off on, like, a Vertigo.
Vertigo, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which is a great movie, and I watched that recently, too.
Beautiful, beautiful-looking
yeah,
movie.
I love Hitchcock. I mean, Hitchcock's amazing, but that one in particular is one of my favorites. Okay, so once we just left off before that, talking about Bigger Dreams production of 12 Angry Men, and we're going to now talk about the next two, the rest of the season, right?
Yeah, so.
What do we got after that? So we get through the.
Coming up this summer, we can talk about it. Yeah. We have the rights to it, right? I always want to make sure.
Right. I was thinking about that stuff. Right.
Coming up this summer, Gary Stevens is leading the charge with one of his favorite stage shows of all time. It's a comedy called The Nerd. And I don't know if you're familiar with it. I wasn't really familiar with it.
I do not know anything about The Nerd.
But Gary's very excited about it. I do know it's from the early 80s. And Mr. Bean, Rowan Atkinson, originated the role originally. Okay. But it's a silly comedy, and I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Okay. Yeah.
And Gary's directing that?
Directing that. We usually take the summer off. Well, you know, we'll still act as producers.
It's concert season.
But it's concert season, so we don't want to, you know, we like to go to a lot of concerts in the summertime.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, I mean... You know, in like hanging inside also is not always the most fun
right.
thing at during that time. Well, so, you know, be outside doing stuff.
There have been those times where I've been involved in a summer show and then somebody goes on tour and announces a date that's super close by. And then it's like, yeah, you get so excited. You go to buy tickets and you realize, no, I can't do that because I'm performing.
That's correct.
So we typically take the summers off aside from producing.
Yeah, that's smart.
And in the fall, in October.
We're excited about this
really
one.
Really excited about this one because I don't think it's been performed locally at all.
Okay.
We're doing Night of the Living Dead Live.
Wow, very cool. Night of the Living Dead Live.
So a few years back, we did a show, Dracula, A Comedy of Terrors.
Yep.
Which was the story of Dracula performed by five actors all playing the same parts. So it's a wacky, crazy comedy. People on stage 1 minute with a wig on, running off, putting a jacket on, coming back, there's somebody else. So we were kind of looking for another show like that because people really – we were worried about that show because it's not a title everybody – I mean, Dracula obviously is branding, but
sure.
That particular show I didn't think too many people were familiar with, but it was one of those word-of-mouth shows where people went to and just had a good time and came back.
Oh, yeah.
And
super.
We actually had Steve Hiscox, local guy, does theater with us. He loved it so much. He, out of his own pocket, because he likes to go to the Fox, out of his own pocket, he bought everybody at the Fox a ticket for our encore
Amazing.
Show.
And, so it was a great size audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It was a lot of people who normally don't go to theater were in the audience. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So Night of the Living Dead Live is in the
Similar,
same vein
yeah.
where I think it's seven actors playing all the parts.
Okay. Interesting.
So it's an homage to the movie. It kind of pokes fun at the movie as well in the genre a little bit.
Gotcha.
But yeah, we're stoked for that one.
Night of the Living Dead. So one of my, and I started it years ago and I never finished it, and maybe one day I will. I started a surf rock musical version of the movie.
Okay.
I wrote like half of it, like the songs. So I have like seven songs for it. And I was just going to actually just take the movie, the dialogue from the movie.
Okay.
And just acted out on stage, but then there would be surf songs.
That's awesome. That's
in cool. between.
Yeah.
But I had like, you know, I still might do it. I don't know. It all depends on when I, you know, it's like my, as we get older, right? And we are definitely, I'm not saying we're spring chickens, but we get, you know, life's going on.
We still get around.
We still get around quite frequently. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But it you know, as you kind of go through life, you kind of plan on, hey, what am I going to do here? What am I going to do? And there's certain things that have gone by that I'm not going to be able to do anymore, but certain things that I can do. And my thing right now is I'm playing in a band. And I was like, I could probably do this till I'm 60. I'm 50. So I probably got 10 more years where I can do it the way I'm doing it, which is like 40 gigs a year, because that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a bit like touring around in a van and moving gear and stuff like that, it gets tiring every once in a while. But I the reason I bring this up is because I'm like, oh, I want to like, maybe when I'm 60, I'll like work on this thing. Along with playing a pedal steel guitar. That was one thing I wanted to do. It's like something I could sit in my living room and do, you know. But I always wanted to do this Night of the Living Dead musical. Only because I had a dream one night where it was like, you know, 2/3 of the way through a musical. And it might be that way with plays too. I don't quite know. Is like the pinnacle thing that happens with the love story or something like that. You know, it's like the golden meat, whatever they call it, you know.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're like there. And I always imagined like, and for most musicals, it's the power ballad of love or whatever. You know what I mean? And I always envisioned like this woman professing her love to a guy while she's eating his head. And like, that was my vision of like the power ballad.
You got to finish this thing.
No, I know. It's totally ridiculous. And if I do it, you are more than welcome to be a part of the production.
Well, if you don't start working on it until you're 60.
That's right. No, we'll do it. Well, we'll look like zombies at that point, so it won't matter. We just won't have to dress up now. No, it's just one of those things. I love that. I mean, I love the movie. I showed it to my son somewhat recently because he hadn't seen the original movie. He was like, wow, this is, you know, he didn't find it that necessarily scary. He thought it was a little weird and bizarre.
It's creepy.
But at the end, he was like, what? Like, when it ended, he was like, I was like, yeah, right? That's a crazy, the ending's crazy. You're just like, what? Like, come on, no.
So I have a DVD copy of this that actually gives you the option to watch it in color.
Weird.
Yeah.
Does it look good in color?
No.
No, because I know the blood was like a you know, it looks very awesome with the blood being black or whatever.
Right, right.
Whatever mm-hmm. color it looks.
Oh, it'd be like watching Psycho in color. It's just...
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it would be good. You know? Totally weird. So that's super fun. When is the dates for... Do you have the dates for that? Do you know what the dates
are? It's I believe it's the 2 weeks before Halloween.
Okay, great. That's awesome.
Yeah, we always have that stuff planned way out, don't we? We sit down in January and we just have to, with a calendar, and we coordinate with Jeff, and we're like, okay, we need dates here, here, and here.
Oh, that's the only way to do it. I mean, he's got like...
Oh, yeah.
We're doing Rocky again, but we're doing it at the atrium with the Vampire Ball.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So it's kind of cool. The Vampire Ball is going to happen 6 to 9, and then we're going to play Rocky Horror at 9.
Nice.
In
the
Very
same
cool.
room. But we're going to do it all in the atrium this time instead of in the loft. So...
You're doing it with the Mopar cams again?
Yeah, so basically the same. It's like two or three different people, but it's mainly the same cast that we had last time. But we did good on that. We sold out on that. It was 150 people.
Wow.
Tickets we sold, and we had to turn people away.
Which nice. That's a lot of people up in that room, too. It makes it seem pretty packed.
Yeah.
The loft.
And I'm excited to do it again because it was really hard because we're trying to, like, we played the movie, and then we mute the audio
right.
when the songs come up. So we're trying to, like... I have to watch the movie. We had, like, prompters, you know, and you have to kind of watch the movie and try to play along with it. It's super hard to do to get it so that you can line it up as much as possible.
Right.
We were close. I would say I would give us an 81, which is a fair score. But, you know, I would love to, like, that would be something I would love to do on a bigger thing, like doing Albany or something like that. But
what was the name of the sequel to...
Shock Treatment.
Shock
Treatment. Yeah, right.
I'm surprised nobody's tried to revive Shock Treatment as a stage play.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I've...
Was it good?
Shock Treatment?
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, okay.
It's so much fun, though. Like,
yeah, but that's okay. Terrible is... What kind of terrible are we talking about, right?
Good terrible
it's
or bad?
It's fun terrible. Yeah. I mean, it's like a one-off maybe watch, and, you know, I'm not going back and watching it every weekend, but...
Like, Exorcist 2 is good terrible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exorcist 3 Exorcist is a great
3.
Movie.
Exorcist 3 is
a great movie.
It's a fantastic movie. George C. Scott, it's one of my favorite.
I tell everybody this.
And I find it almost scarier than the original. There are scenes in that just stick with you.
Well, that and just the premise of what's going on is amazing. That movie's amazing. I tell everybody then, they're like, you're crazy. I was like, nope, trust me. It's the only one like where there's like part three's good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Although I guess the third Nightmare on Elm Street is pretty good too. The Dream Warriors. That one's pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's not, it's also goofy. That sounds like we got a good season going on.
Yeah. We're really, really happy with the season, how it's going so far. And we got, we're starting to work on next year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can mention
what's one of the things for next year.
So you know how we normally like to do something light in January, February, yep, winter months. Well, that's not happening this year.
That's out the window.
So we'll have to kind of rearrange the way we kind of look at things next year. We'll probably have to do a lot of light stuff, but we are tackling both parts of Angels in America.
Oh, no way.
For the whole month of February of 2027.
That's very cool.
Which we're very excited about. We actually did it under Brooks' company, Bold, around 10 years ago. Yeah. And it was such an undertaking doing a show of that magnitude.
Yeah.
In a weekend. We did it all in one weekend.
Yeah.
And we did both parts.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And both parts are like 3.5 hours long.
Yeah, that's big.
So I remember we would do like a matinee, maybe have an hour to,
that's a long time
to shake it off,
yeah,
and then
sure
perform again until like 11 o'clock at night. But nobody really saw it. Unfortunately, we put a lot of work into it. And
we did it at Goodrich, so we had a lot of seats and not very many people in the audience. So
yeah.
So we've talked about it for years, remounting it as we've grown our company,
sure,
and our audience. That
and you just do one performance of that, or is it going to be multiple?
So yeah, go ahead.
It's going to be over the month of February. So the first weekend in February, we'll do part one. The second weekend in February, part two. The third weekend, we'll do part one again.
Oh, gotcha.
And then the fourth weekend, part two, to give people options as to when to see if they are able to see both parts.
Yeah, because that's like it's an undertaking.
Yeah.
And if you say, oh, you have to do it all in one day, that's a hard thing.
Oh, it's crazy.
Dedicate yourself to. Yeah. That's a day, you know, of sitting in a seat, and you know, it's awesome. But yeah,
and it's also, you know, tough subject material too. So
sit
through
brutal
two performances back to back on that is tough on the audience too. So we'll give them a little time to digest each part before they come in for the next one. But it's such a beautifully written piece.
I always say it's as close to Shakespeare as any modern play has ever come.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, last thing. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to play a song.
Okay.
That I put on from this 45 lot that I got on. And when we're listening to it, we want to compare the song to food.
Okay.
So when we're done with the song, you need to tell me what kind of food this song reminds you of.
Okay.
All right.
Ready? I don't remember this song, but I'm sure it's bad. So here we go. To let everybody know ahead of time, we're going to be listening to Pebbles, Mercedes Boy, the remixed version.
All right.
All right, and we're going to compare this to what food this reminds us. Oh, the low price is only $1.69. It's strawberries. Remember strawberries? All right, here we go. Pebbles.
Baby, let me tell you, I've been watching.
We were just like, well, Brooks, and I said, oh, remind me of like some like ending credits for like a bad movie, like License to Drive or something. She said License to Drive 2, which would make more sense. I also think it's a Paula Abdul ripoff.
I got to say, totally. What an eclectic mix of music we've had on the show.
That's correct.
Today.
It's always that. So here's my take on it. A Dollar General fruit roll-up. That's been on the shelf for maybe a month longer than it should have been.
We're in the same vein,
strawberry,
though. I was thinking store brand Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, that checks out, too. Yeah. There's just not enough frosting on it.
Yep.
I'm going with, I preface, like, really stale circus peanuts, those, like, that candy.
The orange ones.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. But, you know, here's the thing about that, right? If there's a bowl on the table and you walk by it, you might take one.
Oh, I'm going to eat one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You still might take one.
And then you regret your decision.
Yeah, and then you just put another in your pocket for later, right? You feed to the birds or give it to somebody else. Be like, hey, you want a pocket? You know, it's like the peewee gum. He gives gum to, you know, whatever makes his mouth or whatever. Anyways, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with Stephen Brook today. Make sure you check out Bigger Dreams Productions. What's the social meds and sites?
BiggerDreamsProductions.org is the website. We're on Facebook, Instagram.
Cool. You can also just go to Foothills PAC.
Yeah.
And check out what the show's.
They always list our stuff and the stuff coming up.
Yeah, which is also a great thing. I'll try to put some links in the social medias later. And for everybody else, let's see. Have a great weekend. I'll be here on Monday with Todd Evans, who I love having on the show for Heavy Metal Monday. He was just in the city, bought some new metal albums, so I'm pretty stoked about that. And then Tuesday, I know I have Dr. Adam Kent, Superman. He'll be here talking about some piano stuff, and he's an incredible pianist who teaches here and also at Manhattan School of Music. So it'll be great to have him on here. And then I don't know what else is going on because my brain does not occupy more than like 3 or 4 days ahead of time. So what's in your pocket? DJ Nas from R2, kicking it live, episode 111. Keeping it locked, Homer Red Dragon Radio. Everybody have a fantastic weekend. Go check out all live things, plays, musical, music, live food. Go eat live food, except for that Pop-Tart, circus peanuts, and any kind of, you know, fruit roll-up that's been on the shelf for way too long. Rock and roll, everybody. Have a great weekend. We love you.
Own 90% of all media sources in America. Just 6